everyone. Thanks for joining us today. As you know, a lot of companies started out as an on-prem software, and many of those companies have in recent years transitioned to SaaS offering. One such company is Siemens Software, and I have Francesca Fleischer from Munich, Germany, who works at Siemens Software, to tell us about their software journey into digital transformation. And the reason I have her here is because she was one of the top nominators for the Customer Success Excellence Awards. While she didn't win the award, she actually got to be a shortlisted nominee. And so her story is quite incredible. I want to share that story with you today so that you could see how large companies transition to a SaaS offering and what extraordinary results you can get to if you do the right thing. So Francesca, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, I'm very happy to be there.
So Francesca, first of all, congratulations for making it to be a shortlisted for the Customer Success Leader of the Year Award. Tell us a little bit about who is Siemens Software.
First of all, thank you very much. It's very exciting, and I was really honored to be part of this very first Customer Success Awards, which brings a lot more spotlight onto the customer success community. So I'm just honored to be part of that. So Siemens Digital Industry Software is the full name. So as you know, Siemens is a large corporation. I also like to say sometimes it's a country rather than a company, because sometimes it feels that big. So Siemens Digital Industry Software basically offers the entire portfolio that a manufacturing company can use in order to digitize their business. So everything from the ideation of a product idea over to the engineering and design, all the way through the production and manufacturing processes, and ultimately feeding back data on an IoT platform back to the design. So the entire cycle, if you will. And the interesting part of that is that whole value chain of the company can be digitized with these software solutions. So we're talking here about 200 software products, a mixture of own development and design and acquisitions and mergers. So that already brings a large level of complexity to the field. But this is effectively where the company operates, and the customers are a mixture from all different kinds of industries. So if you think about automotive, OEM, and the entire supply chain of automotive, over to consumer products, everything which needs to be manufactured, also oil and gas, aerospace, defense, so heavy equipment, every industry that needs to produce a manufactured good. And that's the short version.
Well, Siemens Digital Transformation Software obviously has a lot of different companies that they work with. And each of them must be very different because we're talking about different industries. I mean, the only industry that I know is pretty consistent is this semiconductor industry for manufacturing. Otherwise, you're talking about completely different setups and data structures, et cetera. So with that, I think that's in and of itself a little bit of a challenge in setting up a customer success program because it's so different from company to company and from industry to industry. Would you agree with that?
Yes. The interesting part, what we saw as we are building up customer success within this company of over 25,000 employees, is that we have to solve the topic of giving the customer the value, no matter what type of product they are using. So simply collecting a bunch of adoption data, saying, okay, there's the value, is not good enough. So this means that the value as such comes out of the different setup of what the customer is using. So the customer will use multiple products at the same time at a different life cycle stage. And what we need to look at is the business process that the customer is trying to improve and show the value of that. So that means that we need to account for the entire adoption data that are along this process.
Okay, so before we get into exactly how Siemens Software developed their customer success program, can you tell me a little bit about what impact your initiatives had on the company?
The initial start point was when Siemens announced the transformation to become a SaaS business and therefore decided to invest in that area. So, and the investment into SaaS means investment into the product. So building the products that are SaaS ready, that give us the possibility for a digital customer engagement, for telemetry data. That's the investment in the R&D. And the other portion was the investment in customer success and shifting the go-to-market model from a classical sales perpetual approach to a more value-based selling and ultimately building up a customer success capability within the company.
And you led the EMEA team that was built on some sort of like a hybrid model between on-prem and SaaS?
Yes. Siemens decided in 21, in the Capital Market Day announcement, that's where it was announced, to go away to SaaS that allows the customer to choose versus, do I want to go full cloud SaaS? Do I want to go into a hybrid mode, or do I want to still stick in my old perpetual motion? And this is important because some of the manufacturing customers are not there yet. They have an entire infrastructure and base that they have in the fields in their customers that you cannot so easily switch to the cloud. So you need a few steps in between so you can choose what type of model suits best for you. So that's the customer orientation. And that makes the customer success, building up customer success operations and capability more complex, because you have to still do some of the old work, but you also have to kind of put up a speedboat of a team and first successes that show the new way and show how do you sell SaaS and how do you deliver customer success in that new environment successfully.
Okay, so to go for that go-to-market strategy where you would move some of your accounts into the cloud eventually, the company embraced a hybrid model where they allowed the customers to move certain parts of certain product from their entire portfolio with you and gradually transition into it versus just saying, hey, you're going to move everything. So you were handed that charter, essentially. You owned the EMEA accounts. What was some of the first thing that you've done? Did you hire a team? Did you develop processes?
Yeah, so there was already an existing team that was looking at one portion of the SaaS business. And the customer success, we only give customer success management to customers that invest in either the hybrid SaaS or the SaaS solutions. We started with that initial team and added new people to it so that we have a good mix of skill set that they can learn from each other. One know better the customer base and the existing challenges that customers have, and the new ones come in with a SaaS mindset and a customer success background from within the industry, which is a good mix. So that hiring was one, but the very first important thing we did with the customer was start having the conversation about their business pain points and their objectives, which is in some occasions also new for the customers, because they were used to buying in a capital expenditure model to say, well, we invested in this, we own this, and it's our problem. Now in the SaaS world, it's the problem of the vendor to show that they show that they see the value of what they have invested in. And that's what customer success is there for. So the first thing we did was we started creating customer success plans that involved the conversation about what is the business outcome they are trying to achieve. For example, do they want to increase their operational efficiency? Do they want to start looking at their energy management because in the factory, they would like to decrease the carbon footprint of the factory? Very important nowadays with the entire topic around energy and sustainability, big cost saving as well, potential for customers. So capturing these values, having this conversation with the customer, and then mapping the customer outcomes and the business objectives to the adoption data that we see coming from the software, that you see, okay, if we connect a certain amount of assets, if we see a number of users going up, we know that this process is going in the right direction. And the core activity that is needed for that is knowing how to start the conversation about the value, because ultimately the customer will need to open up to discuss what is the cost of an engineering hour. Why do they have certain pains right now in different business processes? And this is something that you would not disclose in the very first conversation when you meet somebody, just like you're meeting somebody for the first time also in the sales process. You need to build up the credibility and the trust over time. So the most important thing that we did in the last year since we started this is start having that conversation, hiring the team to get to be able to have these conversations, and then documenting these customer success plans.
That's wonderful. Okay, so you're getting this charter in 2021. That's barely 2 years ago from the recording of this video. So literally in a year and a half, the first three quarters, you set up a team of about how many customer success managers?
So we started off with 5 or 6, and right now we're about 16 in Europe and about 30 worldwide.
Okay. And the main charter for that CSM team is to help customers that elect the hybrid option. So they're on their way to transition to a SaaS model, and the company basically set up this team to support them in that digital transformation and start essentially a new relationship with these customers. Like you said, they never before had to share with you what is their business objectives. And then all of a sudden you're asking them all these questions. What was the first reaction from customers?
So indeed, the reaction from customers is not always easy. I think especially customers that are long-term customers, so for many, many years, for them, it's not natural to have these type of conversations. They took some time to really open up because that trust has to be earned. Also, we have many customers that have large account teams working with them, where you have people from services, people from support over many years. And now a new person comes in and they're like, who is that person? Like, why are they here? Why do we need them? So you need to prove the value of the function of CSM. The best approach is always by focusing on the value by showcasing the adoption data on a regular basis. That's kind of the first thing. And now that you're asking this question, it's actually something else comes into mind there. It's not just the reaction of the customer, which sometimes is maybe even easier, but it's also the reaction of the sales team and how the sales team reacts, because this is my customer. I own this customer. I deal with this for many years, very successfully. So what are you doing here? Yeah. And having the sales team understand that it actually brings value to them too, having a customer success management function, because they can focus on new business. And we are the ones who really make sure adoption is happening, renewals are happening through the value that is being recognized by the customer. That is when the sales team then opens up.
Okay, so because in most of these businesses, when you have a very large account, typically the salesperson that brings the account is then becoming their account manager.
Yes.
So they're the ones who for years had been used to managing that account, having these value discussions. So it's normal, I think, that the first reaction would be, don't meddle with my account. So, but you set up the team. Obviously, it was a huge success. You dealt with the internal change management with the customers, had to deal with cultural change, internal and external. Some of the things I think I noted that you shared with us during your nomination is that you created a customer journey for account health, and then also like some framework for onboarding. How is the CSM involved in the customer journey? When are they getting introduced to the account?
Yeah, so this was indeed one of the conversations we had with the sales team, because we really wanted to make sure that what is being sold, we can later deliver upon. And this is always the classical disconnect between sales and customer success. And how do you handle that? So we have created a customer success playbook around that to say, what's the handover sales to CSM? And it's actually one of the CSMs back then said, it's actually not a handover, it's a CSM integration, because we will not pass the ball. We will just pass it on for some time, but we will pass it back and sales needs to stay. And that's a very different new mindset. So this customer success playbook, we created several customer success playbooks, and one is the integration sales to CSM or the handover. And we have created a little bit like a briefing document where we say to the sales team to help them as well, because sales is like, okay, so what do you need then from us? And we're saying, well, we need to understand the business case. We need to understand the customer's pain point. We need to know who are the key stakeholders that need to be addressed, who will be the person we can talk to around adoption data and value and KPIs, etc. So we kind of formalized this process into the playbook, and that now helps to scale for multiple SaaS products, because we will not just have one, we will have 10 and then 20 and ultimately 100. So the customer success playbooks is a good way to scale and to set up the business for a larger scale for later.
Wow. And then you took the CS playbook and the success plan that you created, and that morphed into multiple success cases for the company on Gartner reviews. Is that not the case?
Yes, exactly. So as the customer success managers have a conversation with the customer about the value, they agree on a mutual goal where they would like to work on. So is it operational efficiency or energy management, etc.? We work throughout the contractual period. And over the period of time, we do the business review. We look at, okay, what have we actually achieved right now? And then once that is recognized by the customer, we capture that in a success story. Now, in the first shot, it may not be an external success story because the customer may not be ready yet, but we could still use it internally and the sales team can use it to say, oh, I can sell the same case to that customer. That's great. And then if we go a step further and with the example of the IoT platform, so you can see that online, the MindSphere IoT platform, the customer success managers then manage with the customer to actually get a peer review where the customers will assess the ease and usability of the IoT platform. And that is then given to the Gartner peer reviews. And then you can see the rating online at the end. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So you improved some of the internal processes like the handoff. You really put a lot of efforts into value selling and value management for clients, and that resulted in multiple Gartner reviews and cases that sales can use in their sales process. One more thing that you mentioned is that you have accelerated the onboarding process. Tell me about that.
For the acceleration of the customer onboarding, one piece is the preparation, and the preparation is the sales team briefing the customer success managers early on during the land phase already. Sometimes we go that far that we even present the CSM during a proof of concept. Already building up a customer success plan with the stakeholders of the customer during the land phase. And this is really when time to value gets accelerated a lot. Because we don't start with a contractual signature, we already start earlier. Yeah. And it's always a matter of customer maturity and sales process as to when you want to present the CSM, because you also don't want the CSM to actually take over the pre-sales role. So it's a judgment call, but as we move along, we get more mature and we get more experiences as to when we want to place it and how.
You know, Francesca, when you hired your first customer success managers, did they have a sales background or a technical background or an industry background?
I love that question because today I had two new starters, and that gives you a perfect example of what I'm looking for in the customer success team. So right now, the team has a good mixture of different skill sets, because you will never find one person that has it all. So you want to balance it out in the team. So I have just two new starters. One today comes from externally being a total SaaS person, knowing about customer health scores, knowing about customer success management, knowing the ins and outs of that new industry, all about data analytics. That's a very important skill set we've just added. And the other person comes from an internal and comes actually from a pre-sales organization, because we want to improve that handover, and having people who have done the other role and know how it looks like on the other side is just so helpful for the team. So that's really the symbiosis or the merge that I'm trying to make within the team, because that, from my past experience, has proven to deliver the best results.
Wow. That's a very smart approach, by the way. With so many different backgrounds, what kind of employee training did you set up so that everybody can have those value conversations with customers?
Yeah, this is what we've done in the global team. So everything we've built is not just like in the European team, but we've done that. It's aligned globally with my peers. And we have created a career framework and development framework for customer success managers so that they can grow up to different levels. And every level has an aligned set of capabilities that we're looking for. This is what we're placing right now. But the very first thing we've done in order to make an impact, and also in order to give people the courage to have this conversation about value, we've hired external trainers to focus on adoption metric and business performance metrics and about these conversations. And the one thing that has proven to be the best and most effective training is to role play. So you sit in the conversation and you role play. I'm the customer and you are the CSM and you ask me questions and I play hard to get as a customer. I'm very busy. I'm an executive, etc. And this role playing that kind of is like, okay, they found out, these are the right questions to ask. This is how I can move along. And this is what we will continue to do moving forward.
Essentially, you develop some sort of a talk track. These are the questions, how you lead a conversation, and then you allow them to have a safe place where they can practice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah.
For customers that would not allow you to have access to the people who know the answers to those questions, what did you do as a customer success leader?
So we have built a process. We've built a weekly process for account health management. So meaning about, as we don't have a full-blown customer health score yet, because we're building that, we still need to get through to some things. And the example that you're mentioning is an example where we say, hey, we don't have access to a stakeholder. This can be a problem. So we turn the account on yellow. Right now, it's still a kind of a manual approach where we say we turn it on yellow. But as a leader, I can get all the different customers for 1 week together and request help from the executive team, depending on what it is. So it could be if there is not, you know, access to a stakeholder is one problem, that we need sales to be involved in helping us in the process. Having a conversation with the sales leader saying, hey, I need your help from your account orchestrator to get, you know, access to that. It's always a team effort. Or there's a certain support ticket that is not being solved. It needs to go to product development. We need the head of R&D for that, for example. And setting up this process of weekly account help, even if you don't have it all figured out, my recommendation is just get going with it and stick to the process. So just us sending a weekly report on here are the accounts that are red, yellow, and green has shifted the mindset of some parts of the organization already dramatically to say, where's this weekly report? Is everything okay now? Do you need help? So getting this from a head of product is pretty great, because that empowers the CSM team to get more things solved for their customers.
Any other recommendations for companies that incumbents that have been in the business for 20, 30 years that are going through the same on-prem to SaaS transformation that you have learned from the past couple of years that you've been in charge of, you know, making this a success for your customers?
Yeah, I would say for the CSM with the customer, it's as simple and as complicated as it is, but my recommendation is be as close to the customer as you can possibly be. In corporate large organization, classically, if you come with a new function, especially a function that is managed globally and doesn't have the profit and loss of the region, the global teams are being looked at, are you creating PowerPoints for me, or are you really providing value to my business because I run this business in this region? And being very close to the customer, having a business review with the customer, having the conversation about value, knowing what the customer's pulse is at every time is a big, big asset that drives credibility within the company. So that would probably be my number one hit. And then for the leaders in that space that go through this transition is make sure you empower the people to get that. Yeah. And the empowerment of people is one that proves for me to be very successful is a weekly account health review or a weekly account health process where you bubble these things up. If a customer has a big problem, and you will not make friends with them bringing up these problems, but you will solve for the customer in the long run. And this is what ultimately will get noted. So that would be my recommendation.
I want to remind the viewers that Francesca has actually been nominated to the Customer Success Leader of the Year Awards in EMEA. One of the reasons you were shortlisted is not just because there's like the breadth of things that you have done in such a short period of time in such a large company is really remarkable with obviously excellent results, but you also find time to give from your time to the community. That's definitely one of the aspects that we were looking for as judges. And maybe you can share what were some of the things that you're doing outside of work to help to drive customer success awareness in your community, whether it's local or globally.
So I love the customer success community because it's really a sharing community. And I've always loved that back from school and university and college days. It's the right place to be if you're a person who loves to share and communicate with others. So one of the things is obviously the customer success meetups. Now that we are post the pandemic, hopefully reinitiated the meetups and the local meetup as well in Munich. And there are a lot of startups that are coming up looking for orientation around customer success, setting up their business model for the first time. Now in this meetup culture, you have more and more people from product that say, well, actually, I want to hear what you guys have to say because you have a lot of just knowledge about the customer and we want to build a product that is fit for market. So great interactions there. We'll continue to do those meetups. Also, I started lecturing at different universities. Within Siemens, we have a lot of students. They are on a dual program where they go into university and work in the company at the same time, which is, I think, a great learning concept. And it turned out that they do, you know, business transformation, they do digitalization, but they never heard about customer success. So I went to those universities and I said, why don't you teach that? And they're like, well, actually, we probably should. Would you want to do it? And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. So that's how it came about. But you can see it now in multiple universities and colleges that it is a topic. You know, when I studied business, there was sales and marketing, and that's it. But we know that customer success is a strategy. It's a concept. It's not just a function. And it has business mechanics. Now that customer success operations is a very large evolving topic, I want to recruit people from universities who have knowledge about that because it will be a benefit for my business ultimately. And it's also just fun working with students who are curious about everything and you can go crazy and do fun things. So that's also kind of cool and fun. Yeah. And then I love the customer success community get togethers on the conferences like TSIA or the Pulse Gainsight, speaking at events, but just also the network with it and meeting people like you and exploring the networks and seeing who else has the same problems, who maybe has solved my problem that I have already. And it's just very beneficial.
And on top of that, you also kind of find time to coach startups around customer success and in general.
Yeah, I like to call that my hobby because when you build customer success framework in a company with 25,000 employees, things can tend to go very slow in comparison to startups. And working with a few startups here in Munich is just so much fun because I'm like, here's my tip to build up a customer journey. And the next week they call back and say, okay, we're done. What's next? It gives me a lot of different perspective for myself and a reflection point for what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, just to not be so blindsided by just that one company or that one problem. So very helpful.
If somebody here listening to this and they're going through a similar journey to you, Francesca, what would you say would be some of the books you would recommend or resources in general to help them go through this digital transformation?
So to anybody who goes into the customer success area or space, the blue book from Dan Steinman and Nick Mehta is always my first one, whether it's transformation or net new. That's for me the Bible. And then the other one, I have it here. It's just new and I just started reading it. It's the Digital Hesitation from TSIA. I just glimpsed through it the other day and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the one. Like I can check mark. I'm like, yeah, that's correct. Especially, and it kind of catched my eye because it had the word hesitation on top. And I'm like, that's about right what I feel on a day-to-day basis. And knowing the previous books from TSIA with the B4B and the consumption technology, so I think that's probably the right read.
Yeah, I scanned through it as well, and I agree. It's on my bookshelf, ready to be read after I finish. Imagine Customer Success by Sasi Ayajamayan, about designing organizations around customer value. Francesca, thank you so much for your time today. You know, I wanted to accomplish a couple of things with this conversation. One, I wanted to highlight for people, what does it take to be shortlisted for a Customer Success Excellence Award for Leader of the Year? And I think it's very clear that in such a short period of time, you were able to set up a program with people who are actually able to penetrate a very sustainable culture and make change management in not only internal, but also with customers and break through the mold and be able to expand your team, set up training, be involved in the community, like a lot of different things. And so I think that's really what it takes to be a leader in customer success and nevertheless, somebody that close to being an award-winning leader. So thank you so much for the inspiration today. You're absolutely remarkable.